Standing ovation. Yeah, I love it. Who knew?
We're not in session yet, so.
Can chant for you.
Only do it in session. That's when it means
out of session.
And one extra.
Yeah, but when it's in session, that's when it means something.
Here we go.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right where we left them.
Good evening and welcome to the Monroe City Council Special Business Meeting for Tuesday, September 9th. The time right now is just after 6:30. Will you go ahead and call the roll, Liz?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutterback, Camp, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. And Councilmember Rasmussen will not be here this evening. If everybody's in agreement, we'll just consider him excused. Yep. And Councilmember Gamble is on his way. Councilmember Gearing, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and I'd like to have the record reflect that Councilmember Gamble has entered right after the Pledge of Allegiance. We now have a need for an executive session. This is for actual litigation, pursuant to RCW 42-30-110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection little I. This is for approximately 20 minutes. We are now going to go into executive session in this room. Does your clock agree that...
Yes.
Okay, we're back in session now. The next item on our agenda is announcements and presentations. And Mr. I've never had to say your last name. Mr. Ovney, you're up first.
I think I know. Can you hear us?
Yes.
I think I know all of you, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark Ovney. I'm the executive director of the East County Senior Center. Entering my 90th year. On behalf of the members of the East County Senior Center, I would like to sincerely thank you for increasing the budget for our transportation program last year. It was a really pleasant surprise, the amount of it. I think Gene called me the next day and said, well, the council didn't approve the $12,000. Actually, approved 15,000, so that was, first my heart saying that my heart.
Messing with you.
Gene got me good. Good for him. So along with that, I just, you know, hopefully you'll be able to maintain that again this year for us. It's a survival thing for the Boston people. So. One of the main goals of the East County Senior Center is to help older adults maintain themselves as active and engaged participants in the community. And there's no more value and sense of self than independence. I mean, think about it, when you got your car keys, when you got money to get out. When people lose that independence, it's a really devastating life event for a lot of people. Especially for those who lived in the Depression and World War II, it's really a critical part of their lives. So, you know, much of what we do at the Senior Center, much of the assistance we provide is intended to promote that independence, especially when there's a chance of losing it. So I'm going to ask you this question. Sort of a self-answering question. When seniors are surveyed about what their number one issue is, what do you think it is? Any ideas? You have the answer? I mean,
transportation.
Right?
Transportation.
Yeah, it is. You know, it doesn't matter how good your housing is, how good your medical services are, how good your shopping is. If you can't get there, it doesn't exist for you. With that in mind, I just wanted to take a moment to read a letter we received last month from a member of the community. It was addressed to the Senior Center Board and to my attention. I would like to thank the center and the bus drivers for providing outstanding service to my 92-year-old father. My mother was recently admitted to Regency Nursing Care, and my dad resides at what was then Emeritus Assisted Living. My parents have been married for 72 years, and having them apart would have been mentally devastating for both of them. Thanks to your bus service, they have been together daily. This would not have been possible without that transportation. You have been a proverbial lifesaver. On behalf of my parents and myself, a big thanks to all and to all. Now, I want to share that with you because it's not just thanks to me, the media, or to us, the Senior Center. It's thanks to you. Because without your support, we won't be able to run the bus, and that would not have happened. So you all deserve credit for that, too, and I'm here to share that with you. So. I'm not sure how much you know, if any of you have known much about Leadership Snohomish County. Have any of you ever heard of Leadership Snohomish County? It's a nonprofit, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a nonprofit, a group of select individuals who put out bids, sort of present projects to them, and there's a competitive process. And the East County Senior Center did that last year. We were chosen. A series of videos were made. So I want to share one of those with you. It's only 2 minutes long. It's too little and 2 minutes long. So do I just do that and trust you?
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Speaker.
Your sound? How much is solid or something?
The light's got to be on.
So, technical support.
When I first came here, of course, I was a lot younger and I drove. Now I don't drive anymore, so I love riding the bus. It's so convenient. It's a patch of my life where it makes it easier for me to get around. And I just, I love coming to the East County Senior Center.
The East County Senior Center provides it's a lifeline. It's a bus that gets them from point A to point B. Without that, these people would be probably pretty much shut up in their own homes. They would not have the ability to get to a hospital, to medical appointments, to just all the things that they need for quality of life.
So that's one of the vital services our bus provides, being able to pick people up and load them in their home and take them out to interact with others in the community.
These times of economic stress and everything can be seen in transit, that service, it's very difficult. Taxis are expensive. A lot of seniors don't drive, don't feel comfortable driving. Providing transportation services to get here, to get to other places, shopping, visiting interesting spots, isn't done by anybody else. And so it serves a vital function for those people who need that kind of service to get around and together. So it's an essential part of the program.
I get to meet people and socialize with people every day. It's me. I've always worked in the public. So to me, that means an awful lot.
So it makes them have a more qualified and fulfilled life. That's a wonderful thing for the community to have this bus out there on the road every day.
Nice
video.
I don't think I've ever seen the bus. Was that a cow on the front of it?
Well, that was from the parade a few years ago.
Okay. Thank you.
That was from the parade. So some of you might have recognized, it's not just seniors with it. We also take younger than same. Many of you probably know Mike Cantella.
Yeah.
He's a huge supporter of the bus. He lets me use him in his name. Happy in the United Way presentation and things like that. Last year, he won. Any of you are familiar with the food bank? Familiar with the food bank of Dorther Affairs. Mike won Volunteer of the Year last year at the food bank. And that was, I'm not saying that we're responsible for that, but we helped make that possible by getting him to the food bank twice a week. So
that's awesome.
Us, you know? So, while we were working on the project, it became really clear to us that transportation, bus program, whatever, says what it does, but we actually changed the name, as you can see. We now call it Mobility Lifeline. And people like their name, Joel Selman, and Joel came up with that idea. It sounds like a Joel Selman kind of thing. It really does fit the purpose of it much more. Of course, the East County Senior Center is about so much more than just our bus. I mean, the bus is vital, but last year we served, unduplicated count of 1,400 people. That's 1,400 distinct individuals came into the Senior Center. Of services we provide. That's an increase from the previous years. It could have been for something like yoga, for healthcare, for acupuncture, for trips, classes, things like that. We've started hosting a once a month Monday evening kind of educational session.
So I met this fellow who was a Gettysburg expert, and he hosted we hosted him, and there was over 100 people showed up for a presentation on the Battle of Gettysburg, and it was so successful he did it at the library, and now he's teaching a course on it at the Edward Community College. So, I know Lifeline Learning, whatever they call it, the University of Washington, he's teaching a course in Gettysburg. And we also have had the owner loan from the post office. She's a Vietnamese refugee. She wrote a book, and she came to the senior center twice, and both times there were 50 people, including many veterans, that came to hear about her experiences escaping Vietnam and acclimating to the United States. She loves it, and what a blessing this has been for her since.
It's a really good book. It's called Rose and Steel Breath. Yeah, it's a really great book.
Last year we also served over 5,500 lunches to people, and many people that's their only square meal a day. And we went on 80 trips and had almost 4,000 volunteer hours. Any nonprofit doesn't work without volunteers. It's just the nature of the beast. We're very, very proud of the fact, I know I have a son that's in this situation. We work with a lot of job coaches who bring the developmentally related kids with various disabilities and clients to the senior center, where we can help teach them job skills. And we probably have about 10 different young folks that come and participate. And we continue to try and tell our segment of our programming to the boomer generation, because that's the future of the senior center. And it's a really difficult, I read a lot about it, it's a very difficult issue nationally. I see maybe a couple of you that are in the boomer category, but you probably don't think that, what am I going to do? I just go to the senior center. Because part of it is the boomer generation. We're all part of the famous 60s youth movement, and we're never going to grow old, and we still believe that. So it's difficult to get senior people that are approaching the seniors. One very important item, something I've been trying to do for a long time, and happened that's very significant to the community, happened this year. And that is the Monroe Police Department now has the beginnings of a senior volunteer working with them. Initially were 6 people, it's now 4 people, but it's going to grow. And they're going to do things like vacation home checks. And I know they're very happy this morning, 2 of them, because they were distributing pencils to school children in some place in the neighborhood here. Sergeant Ryan's working with them, and it's just a wonderful effort, and they're pumped about it, so I'm going to keep doing it. And that was due to a joint initiative between the Senior Center and the Police Department. We've always felt like we're a vital part of the community. Along those lines, several of you know I talked about this before. We completed the senior-to-senior project in 2010 with the Monroe High School, so it was seniors in the high school and seniors in the senior center. Initially, the 2 groups were surveyed on their attitudes about each other, and it was the same questions. We just reversed the subject of etiquette, depending on how to go out of my way to interact with a senior citizen, how to go out of my way to interact with a high school student. And we managed to raise $5,000, and with that money, we bought supplies for 100 3-day emergency preparedness kits that we distributed at the food bank. There's the project happening. No. There's a few pictures there. There's the kids. And that's the group together. And that fellow next to me over my left shoulder, his name is Bill Basil. He was so impressed with this. He was the state director of emergency preparedness in Washington. And now he's head of AmeriCorps volunteers in Washington. He was appointed by the president. He picked up Saturday morning to come out to watch this project because he thought it was so cool. But the kits, I could have bought the kits ready made, but I thought it would be fun to have students and seniors interacting with each other. So I paired them up in couples, and they spent the morning interacting with each other, building the kits together. And it was truly wonderful watching the interaction, the role modeling, and the positive vibe that emanated that morning. You can see it in that first picture. And so the tagline of the project was, there's no reason that while preparing citizens for emergencies, we can't improve the citizenship of the community as well. So they spent the morning working together, and then we resurveyed using the same survey. And our hypothesis was that the attitudes would improve in the course of the day. As a result, I submitted the project, and the Monroe East County Senior Center,
City of Monroe was recognized as we received an award of excellence from the National Institute of Senior Centers, and I picked that up in Washington, D.C. at a huge aging conference. So it's a cool project. So with that in mind, I'm not sure how everybody's budgets are tight these days, but time to do it again. So if you could find $5,000 somewhere lying around in a slush fund or something, or, that's probably good to use in a council meeting. But in a whatever, if it's $5,000, we can build another 100 kids with another group of students and another group of seniors and keep that feeling going. The people, the students and their families benefit from it, the seniors and their families benefit from it, and obviously the people that receive the emergency preparedness kits benefit from it. So it's something that we can get publicity on and get going. I was close to having Como TV come out that morning. They were going to film it. Some emergency happened at the last minute kind of thing, but we can work on making that happen. So there's definitely publicity for the city involved if we were able to do that, I guess. So I just wanted to thank you all for this opportunity, and we feel we get great support. We have a great partnership with the city and all the different groups in the city. And I have a packet I prepared for each of you. It's our attempt at an annual report and a final report I did on the senior project. Encapsulating and then on newsletters.
Thank you.
Thanks again. I just want to also take this opportunity to invite you all to our auction October 25th, Saturday night, October 25th at Echo Falls. We'd love to have you. And thank you for this opportunity. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
One short.
We just need to make certain we get a copy of the city clerk.
I'm sure, yeah.
Why don't you just give this copy? Let's see. He's... For the clerk. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mark. All right. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe. Except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We did have sign-up sheets. I have two people that have signed in. The first one is Rosie Tattle. Rosie.
Hi, my name is Rosie May. 149-69-174th Avenue, Southeast Monroe. First, I want to show you maps so you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the original ramp that goes from Highway 2 to 522. And about a year ago, there was a sign put in here that says must stop for pedestrians after I had a close call and there was 911 call to document. Unfortunately, it's not working that good. My stomach, whatever, when I went last time, there were four cars that wouldn't give me a right away. The last one I thought for sure would. It was a driving school one. That one wouldn't even. There needs to be something done before someone's killed. When they made the improvements in that area, there were two things they did that made it more dangerous. There used to be a little bitty island right here that you could stand on until a car gave you right away. And the approach here was 300 feet. It's now a quarter mile. So the cars go a much faster speed. I was wondering if maybe there would be a way that they could synchronize the lights that the pedestrians could have a little right of way when the walk sign went before the cars started turning. I talked on the phone to someone about it and she wasn't sure if it could be done. The other idea was right where the traffic light is, where you're looking at, maybe they could put a sign, must stop for pedestrians. When Walmart comes in, there's going to be more traffic in that area, and it's going to even worsen it. I was wondering if there was a way you guys could put a cop there to show the DOT how bad it is. I asked them what kind of cop. I talked to Kathy George, and I'm going to give you both things that I have on me, and she said the Monroe police could, and to show how bad it is. You don't really realize until you try to wait there. I would even be one who would be the walker, even if the cop just took pictures, not even tickets. And I am willing to put my money where my mouth is. If you could tell me, like if it's under $5,000, something to get a cop there for a week or for a few days to show him. The money I would use would be for my first husband when he died. I haven't had the guts to touch that money, but this is something he loved because it could save a life. It even save mine. After a cop, if a cop could write a lot of tickets or even just pictures to show how bad that is. And my gut says the DOT would be willing to work with you guys for one reason. They made a situation when they made those improvements to make it worse for pedestrians. They designed it without thinking of pedestrians, and they worsened the problem. And I have my contact information if the mayor would like to pass it on to anyone who he would think is appropriate. And the letter I just read was sent to Kathy George from the DOT.
Thank
you.
Help
you can give me would be appreciated because it's getting worse and worse.
Thank you, Rosie. The next person that we have on the agenda is Susan Boyd. Susan?
Thank you. I'm Susan Boyd, Vice President of Case Engineers in Kirkland, Washington, also the author of the draft and primary author of the draft and final EIS revolving around the rezone of the East Mill property, and that's what I'm here tonight to talk about. Given the recent decision and request for additional information by the Growth Management Hearing Board and being the leader of the consultant team that developed the EIS, I felt compelled to come in and just give my little version of what's going on, where we're at, and where we should be to the rest of the council. As you know, there's been a tremendous investment in this project over a number of years. That investment has been by the applicant, by city staff, by my team, tremendous amount of money, tremendous amount of hours, tremendous amount of just thought and decision making has gone into the entire process. In my experience, the level of effort that was put into this document and this process was well beyond what one would expect for a non-project action. However, the applicant recognized some time ago, I guess about a year ago, maybe a little longer, how complex the site was. The applicant respected public process enough to put up enough money to support a full EIS on this project, to answer the questions of the community, the council, and the city in making the determination. I can say that, in all honesty, that the city staff was exhaustive and thorough in their review of all the documentation that was prepared. I can say in all honesty that my team was a team of experts that is irrefutable in Snohomish County and in this area. I believe that the city staff recommended the right thing when they had a determination on the CEPA documentation, and I believe the council acted appropriately in approving the rezone and moving forward with it. The growth management hearing decision and request for additional information was a surprise to most of us. I think I share the opinion of I hope the council as well as the city staff, certainly our team and the applicant. It's apparent that there's still some confusion over what the EIS said. There was some misconstrued information in the decision. Again, it's a complex site. There's a blurring of the responsibilities under a project action and a non-project action that's evidenced in their decision. I think there's just confusion there. In any event, the decision has been made and a determination of what to do to go forward needs to be made. We feel very strongly that the decision that was made should not stand. And I think the decision itself implies that in asking for additional information and supporting documentation. I'm worried about it on several levels, and not the least of which is that every one of these decisions helps set precedent for future decisions. And to see the Growth Management Hearing Board come into a decision a quarter mile, for probably a quarter mile within the urban growth area, is a little surprising to me. I haven't seen that often, if ever in the past, and I think it sets a precedent that is a poor one for local government. Again, I can say with complete confidence that from a planning, engineering, and scientific standpoint, the EIS is defensible and the decision that was made is defensible on every and any level. With that, I wanted to come here tonight and encourage you to move forward with this final stretch. Again, so much has been invested. We're close to that home that final decision, if you will, and in the home stretch. I hope that you do move forward in defense of the decision, the city staff, and Georgia, and the rezone. I'm not sure what path you're going to choose. I hope it's an expedient one. I wanted to come here tonight and again make myself and my team available to answer any questions, offer support to the city and however it need be, and express our concern for this move forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other members of the public that would like to come up and speak? Anybody at else? Anybody at all? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on now to the consent agenda. This is the consent agenda. Councilmember Camp.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business. This is discussion on Fire and Police Appreciation Week for November. There is a sample proclamation that has been put at your positions at the dais for discussion. And Councilmember Cutaback, did you bring this forward at the last meeting? Did I get that right? Or?
I brought this item up, yes.
Okay. Yes, you have the floor.
I sit on a volunteer committee that helps organize that week. And when we met probably right before the summer, we had discussion about doing more for the police and fire this year. And mentioned that one method would be to do more from the city, either at council that night. We always have an appreciation event that Friday, a lunch at the fire station where it's, you know, they come and people send their appreciation, different organizations send cards and talk a little bit about, you know, the appreciation they have for the police and fire. But I know we are in need of a new banner to hang over Main Street. So I just posed the question of it would be nice if the city of Monroe itself might contribute a little bit more to this week than we have in the past. It's my understanding we've done a proclamation the night of when we have council that week. But whether we host a gathering, whether we help contribute financially to the banner, if the city is interested, if council agrees, then I can bring it back to the volunteer committee and really ask, okay, what are the needs? What are they looking for? And then bring it back. But I wanted to know if we were open to doing more.
Okay. Councilmember Camp pushes button. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. This might be a question directed to you.
Yeah.
What are we currently doing beyond the proclamation and participation in the event?
The question is, what do we do already? So we do a proclamation.
Exactly what Councilmember kind of
we usually send a representative to the luncheon on Fridays.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be averse to contribution to the banner for Main Street and whatever else council decides they'd like to do.
Councilmember Gehring?
I think it's a great idea. So is there already a banner? There, I guess I didn't understand. They're creating a banner?
There's a banner that we've used for years.
So I thought I've seen it in one across Main Street, right?
Yeah,
okay, so
reached it's
getting a new one.
Yes.
Got it.
It's
okay.
It's on its last leg.
Oh, yeah, I'm in for that. Yeah, I think
and
that'd be great.
So looking at ways to replace that is one need. The other need is we're looking around the community and whether there can be more PR from the city and obviously putting stuff on the web page and other things. We're trying to do things at local businesses, broaden it where things are happening throughout the week more than they have in the past.
If I may suggest, it seems like the Chamber has, I don't know if that's been proposed with the folks that you're talking to, but they are the smokestack thing. I mean, they're rolling finally, finding funds for that. So if there's a way to tap into them, I think it'd be awesome. And Una's, you know, she's a firecracker, right? So,
good point.
Now, if that's a great way to, all her email blasts, you know, coordinating with them and that kind of a thing,
sure.
Too. But I think, what we can do, let's see if they can do it. And, you know, I'm all about helping out with that if everybody's on board with that. So.
Well, I can check with the committee and then get back with a specific ask on what exactly the need are. But I, as a council member, would like to do more either that night or something for police and fire rather than just reading a proclamation.
I mean, if I may.
So
I'm sorry.
Councilor Camp, did you?
Whoever has the floor, I wanted to yield. You wanted more on council night?
Possibly, and that's just one idea, thinking about recognizing people that night here in public. We do it on that Friday at noon, but it is Friday at noon during the work week, and I know quite a few people can't attend to that. So whether we hold a function this night, if that is what the committee desires, and again, I can take back that council is willing, that the city is willing to do more, what are the needs, and they can probably come up with some more suggestions, and I can bring it back to council.
Great. The other thing we can do is since he's not here, offer up Mike Farrell and see if there's a way that we can track in something with the Parks Department to do something, whether it's a little fair out here on, you know, on the grass or what have you.
We could throw pies at the chief.
You're
water dunk.
Dunked.
A dunk tank.
Dunk tank.
Councilmember Hanford.
Sorry.
Yes, the dunk tank.
Laser
tag.
The dunk
tank. Okay.
No, I'm all in favor of the banner and then the Tuesday night. I think that's a very valid point. I was able to attend one when I worked here in Monroe years ago. I was able to attend a Friday lunch and the Friday lunch part of it. But the rest of the time, you know, mm-hmm. when you work outside the city, or even in the city and you're just locked into hours, you know, it's just hard to get to. So I think it'd be good. How that looks, I don't know exactly, but, you know, it'd be nice to have more than just the chiefs, to honor the chiefs, but it'd be nice to have more of the staff, of their staff here, you know, so they know that we appreciate it. That's all.
So Pat, so you're going to go back and talk with the committee then?
Yes.
Okay, and then get back in touch with me and or Jean, and then we can bring something back to council. Does that sound good?
Perfect.
Okay. And it may involve Mike.
Yep.
To offer him up as you were hoisting your hands up over here. So.
More of a sacrifice type.
Yeah, I realized that after a couple minutes. So. All right. So we'll talk. And thank you. Anything else on that topic? Okay. Next item is councilmember reports. Let's start off with the P4 committee report. Councilmember Cuttaback.
Councilmember
Davis.
I'll
take that. Yeah. We did have a transportation planning, public works, parks and recreation, public safety committee meeting.
Which committee was that? Can you say that again?
Transportation planning, public works, parks and recreation, and public safety committee.
Good.
Impressive.
Wow. Nicely done.
Affectionately known as P4. Okay. we had a quorum, myself and Councilman Member Rasmussen were there. We talked basically. Went over the unfinished business, which was one of those items was the overweight vehicle parking permits ordinance, which is coming our way here, I believe, on the 16th, and. We just went over some of the points that might be changed or will be changed on that. A little bit of weight limits. What else did I have? Split parking to clarify property or right of way. And so that is due to come to us on the 16th, so we'll be looking at that then. The other issue was the review of the transitional low-income housing benefit, we had recommended an option that would provide an 80% waiver for the transportation, parks, and school impact fees with no payment to the general fund. That's a change that will be, I believe, will be explained also later, because it did get kind of in the weeds there, I guess is a good way. There were several options, but we approved that. The one basically it's very similar to what we have, but the one option that both of us were interested in, it had a cap option on it where we could, as a council, look at that and set a cap for the amount that we would be covering. The change in the law provides us an 80% waiver. That means we could waiver 80% and then either the applicant would pay the 20%, or we would pay the 20%, instead of being the 100% that was required previously. So anyways, that's coming our way also here very shortly. And those were the two topics that we talked about. We had no new business, and our next meeting will be October 13th.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis. All right, anything else from P4? Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I had an opportunity to drive up to Elk Harbor last Friday night, watch the Bearcats game at Monroe High School. It was very exciting. It was very well represented. The visiting side was solidly black and orange. It was just a ton of fun, and Bearcats ended up winning 30-28, a little closer than it should have been, but they did win, which is what matters, and they got to stand with this week. So it was a lot of fun. Again, a great community event outside the community with much of the community going up there, which is great. So looking forward to the 19th, which is the first home game against the old arch-rival Snohomish, so that'll be a lot of fun. But that was a great time. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
So the air raid offense looked good, is what you're saying.
Yeah. There were a lot of passes.
There were a lot of passes, yes. And the 89ers, just for the in Monroe youth football locally, won their second game 53-0 on Saturday.
Nice.
And that is the same offense. Yeah, they do for 8 and 9 year olds, and it's crazy. But it's as I was talking before, it's the same offense that the high school and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun. But on the subject of football, so this Sunday, and maybe Chief, you know something about this. Do we have a fire versus police football game going on this Sunday?
Huh? I was going to bring that up in my
in your report. Okay.
It's at 11 a.m. and I know somebody will be in church at that time. So I'd ask you to say a few prayers for the boys. It was totally trash last time.
Oh no.
Need to work out.
So, Chief, I'll do better than that. I will be there because my daughter is going to be singing the national anthem.
Oh, there you go.
It'll be fun. But yeah, so all the money's going to the Boys and Girls Club, right? Is that?
Oh, that's right on.
So that's a great event. So lots of football going on this week. The hometown 11 are up in Stanwood. I graduated from Arlington High School, so that was my old
rival.
I was going to say nemesis, but we beat them all the time. rival.
Doormat. Yeah.
So, yeah, and we may be making the trek up there to watch our black and orange play the Stanford Spartan. Anyway, that's it. Football season. Did you know that, Councilmember Davis?
I did. I love football.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Councilmember Davis.
The only thing I have is next Tuesday I will be in Ketchikan, Alaska, so I will not be attending that meeting.
Okay. Thank you. So that's 16th.
Right.
Okay, and we'll come back to that.
It's 4 o'clock.
Anything else?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Have a safe trip to.
Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Rasmussen has news. He will share next week.
Oh, yeah.
Councilmember Cutaback.
Just this Thursday is September 11th, so I know I'll be taking some time and reflecting on that day. I still remember exactly what I was doing at that particular moment.
Me too.
When the towers went down. So, and then Saturday night is Swift Night Out. So if you haven't been down there, it's a great community event.
And,
starts at 5.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, the city's looking beautiful. Just love it. Can't wait to get the roads striped downtown. Should be any time, I would imagine, because it's been the time allotted for the asphalt not to eat it. It's looking great. Just love it. Parks, the construction going on everywhere. Boy, Black Friday is coming, and I really think Monroe's going to, I think we're going to get some good tax revenue this coming Black Friday, because we'll have the Walmart, and so it should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Dan?
Nothing to
say. Chief?
We're going to try to address the issue that Rose brought up.
Right.
It's not as simple as what she says, because you got a number of lights involved, and you have a situation where they are getting the crosswalk for the distance as long as it should be. And people are trying to do right turn when they see that green arrow.
Yeah.
And they're going to stop. We'll go down there and we'll write a few tickets, but the problem is we probably don't write it to the right individuals.
Mm.
But, I mean, they're probably just individuals passing through the area. So it's something the DOT should probably address. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to fix it.
Mm.
Can I comment on that just real quick?
Yes, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. So I remember that used to be that island there, but that needed to go away, you know, for the reconstruction. She's just talking about if you're just trying to continue from like the Starbucks, like going towards the fairgrounds on the north side of the road, right? So
right. That's
what she's talking about. And
yeah.
And so there's just not enough. Because I turn there.
She's,
but I'm looking for people. So if you're standing on that corner and there is, you know, and you're turning. People aren't looking for what she's saying is people don't see someone standing here. They may be walking out, maybe a walk sign, but people are just doing this. And that's
there are two things. Number one, the length of the right turn pocket is now long enough that rather than
it's a long one.
It's a long one now. So people are driving a faster speed in her estimation
to make
the turn. So they're not necessarily in her opinion looking at that person. Then in addition to that, the width of 522 that you have to cross is longer. So those are the concerns
sure.
that she's expressed.
Okay. Now, it is technically it's 45 right there, isn't it?
No.
It's actually,
35.
I thought the 45 sign was actually...
45
on our sign in front of
Starbucks now.
Is it? And so, I mean, I was just thinking of that. That may be a consideration. I don't know if we do that or if that's the state. Is that the state? Okay. Because if it was only... I mean, if there was a... They're trying to get through that light.
Make a right turn.
Right. You're right. They're not going. They're slowing down. All right. You're right.
So
I'm thinking about loud about things that might be. Yeah.
Okay.
So I appreciate it. Thank you.
So what staff will do is we'll go back and we'll look at it and see.
Yeah, we'll look at it. Like I said, there's a number of issues there that are out of our control.
State. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
You know,
make a
recommendation to DOT, but they do what they
want to
do.
Yeah.
No.
Let's involve our state representatives.
Okay. Thank you.
Brad. Dog and
Pony Show. Dog and Pony. All right.
What?
Oh, he's got a presentation.
So he's on.
Oh, wow.
It was good. I like it.
Crosswalks,
right? Oh, this one.
Fryland.
So...
No, there's still some little candy bars. There
somewhere.
Oh, and one other thing before you start this is they're scheduled to strike tomorrow.
Oh, sweet.
Unless it rains tonight.
Cool. Thank you.
So, it's brought to our attention that there's some concerns regarding the visibility of pedestrians crossing on Fryland Boulevard north of Tice Street. During periods of high traffic volume, the inside lane queue from the signal at Fryland Boulevard and US 2 extends south to the crosswalk, limiting the visibility of pedestrians crossing to the east when approaching the northbound outside lane. So basically, the cars are parked waiting to make a left turn at Highway 2 until they're crossing the park on this crosswalk there south of it. So when someone comes up, there's a car right next to them, so you can't see the car, you know, whizzing up.
Got
the
it.
Outside lane.
Got it.
Because there's a car. They can't see you because all they see is the front fender of the car. Since visibility, there are a variety of different treatments that could be applied to the crosswalk, ranging from pedestrian flags, and a big little flag, to full signalization. And these costs range from a couple hundred dollars to buy some flags, up to $800,000 for a complete signal of that at that location. But since the visibility seems to be the issue, this concern, the Public Works Department will be proceeding with the following note. Right now, we have the yield here to pedestrian signs with the little sharp teeth that say this is where you're supposed to stop for the pedestrians to come up. We're going to change those to stop here, which gives a little bit more emphasis, and change the shark's teeth to actually full
Sharks.
Sharknado.
That was hot.
Sorry. That was
sharks
awesome.
To what?
Sharks.
I stopped in line. Okay. It's easier to see. Okay. This is kind of order. The other awesome. Options, we have all those wooden kind of light things, but those, the one in the upper right hand column would cost about $25,000 to install, and the Hawk system is about $80,000 to install. And so are the
like, which one is the Hawk system?
The Hawk is the one with the two eyeballs, the two red eyes looking at you.
Oh, okay.
That's the Hawk.
Yes.
The evil mask.
Like skulls. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's like the shark.
So, and then what we're also going to do is the, kind of hard to see there, is put the keep clear on the pavement so that supposedly when people are driving up there, they see the keep clear and they don't pull into that area until the cars are have moved past them so they can, and that will allow when people are crossing the street, they'll be able to see to their right and see if the car's coming. Also, if the car coming up, will be able to see to their left and see that there's a pedestrian coming across the street.
I'm sorry, Brad, could you explain that? For the, yes. The intent is the when cars pull out.
When you're driving up here,
right,
and there's all the cars at the light back here, you stop here because it says keep clear, so you just don't pull up.
Oh, okay.
And cover that, so you wait until there's space for you to move forward.
So where's the crosswalk right now?
Well, this is in California.
This is a different intersection.
I was trying to picture that, the Y.
This is all north of the intersection with the Y, though, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So where you turn into that, the Y, it's all north of the where you turn into the Y.
There's the Y MCA. Okay. On the right here. Here's the crosswalk. So the stop bar, instead of the shark's teeth, will move the full line back here and have keep
clear. No, I assume there's going to be a sign.
You're the other way around. That we're looking south.
So actually, the Y is here.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
It's on the back side.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing, but going the other direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions?
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'm sure there are standards for signs and sign colors. Mm-hmm. The white sign with the red yield that's really small is...
Anyone else going to be here too?
I see yellow. I know I see the yellow signs a little bit more. Yellow, it's something about the yellow says, you know, hey, pay a little bit more attention to this. I don't know if you can do that. Maybe a moot point.
We do have these ones here.
I'm doing the sign that you're talking about and making big. Can we do that one in yellow like that so it's nice and bright?
We can't do that one in yellow. We
can't.
We're going to do that one at the stop bar, which is 30 feet away, and then at this crosswalk itself, we'll have the crosswalk sign.
It's a regulatory sign, so it has to be white. It has to be that color scheme.
Right. Okay.
But it's a stop sign as opposed to a yield sign.
It is we'll say stop now, yeah.
Oh, so it will be an enforceable...
It's not a stop sign.
It's not a stop sign. It's just stop here.
It's a stop here for pedestrians, yes. But then at the crosswalk itself, we'll have the crosswalk sign at the crosswalk, too, which is a big yellow one.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay.
Thank you.
And what's an approximate cost for the proposed...
About $1,200 for materials.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would the funding source be?
Streets. Yes.
Okay. Council members have any concerns about that? Okay. Yes, Council Member Kadovac.
No, but I have another question about transportation.
Okay.
Could I wait? Do you want me to wait?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wait for a second. Council Member Hanford.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank staff. For coming up with a solution. I think it's wonderful. It gives me something to give back to the citizens who have been insisting that something be done before somebody dies. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so what's an estimated time for that to be done?
It's kind of hard to say with the weather, so it depends on how long the weather is. So we're hopefully trying to squeeze it in. By the end of the month.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Brad. Now, Councilmember Cutterback had a question about transportation.
Yeah, Brad, I can't remember on the transportation plan. Is there anything on there for maintenance of like paved walking trails or paths?
No.
Okay.
That's parks.
Oh, that would be in the parks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do sidewalks.
You do sidewalks.
Trails, paths are...
The paths aren't. Okay. Do you know if they have anything in their capital plan for maintenance of...
I believe Mike is budgeting something in the 2015 Parks VIP budget.
Okay. There's some paved trails that I've seen that need some maintenance.
He's got some specific projects in mind, so you might want to...
Okay. I'll touch base with him. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Brad, from you?
No.
Okay. Liz does have something to announce. I think we have public records training next week.
Yes.
Just the facts.
And she was just about to say.
Yes, it's part two of the new part training. And it again is the AG video and PowerPoint presentation.
This time it's done with a we, so that we move, right?
A wee.
That would be cool.
Would be cool.
Well, I'm excited.
And sharks.
I think I'll just bring some.
Okay, so...
Can we eat and change it?
So with that, and we're not doing the extended agenda just yet, but they're on that point. Councilmember Davis will not be here next week, and that is the 16th.
Yes, yes.
And Councilmember Gamble, are you going to be here next week?
Yes, I believe I will be, as of right now.
Okay.
I have to be in Aberdeen the next morning at 6 in the morning, so that's why I'm here.
Okay. And we showed the council member, Rasmussen, might have been out next week, and he's out this week instead. Yeah. So, again, if you aren't here next week, so council member Davis and maybe council member Gamble or not, make certain you touch base with Liz so that you can get your training in. And... We'll go ahead and move on then to Jean and then to me, and then we'll come back to the extended agenda. Do you have anything to report?
The only thing I wanted to mention is that the chief and I attended the chamber luncheon today, and Senator Pearson was there and did a great presentation and continues to support our community, which we appreciate.
Sounds good. So some of the things, the SWIFs are out on Saturday. And somebody asked me what the SWIFs were all about earlier today, and going to sharks, I said it's like a Swift NATO or a Bird NATO. So oh, I'm sorry if you hear that or see it on a T-shirt. I'm sorry. The other thing, the department submitted their budgets, and Diane has input information, and I'm working with staff to go through that. I took Friday off last week so that I could work through that material. And so just letting you know that we're working on that right now. One big piece of news, which I know all of you are aware of, but I do want to acknowledge it on the record, and that is that the steam stack or smokestack was pressure washed today. Una, our director extraordinaire from the chamber, expects that that the person will begin painting tomorrow. And so we would anticipate that probably before the end of next week that smokestack that has been gray for decades will be painted with Monroe written on it and the trees and the mountains. So I publicly am thanking Una and the chamber board and the chamber for all the work that they're doing. They're doing that work at their cost and with some city support in terms of helping out with some equipment. And I also publicly want to thank Fred Wolfstone, who owns the property, for being willing to meet with me and with staff and with Una to help make this happen. So this is going to be a big mark in our community that we can all see. Absolutely. And all appreciate how when we work together we can achieve something like that. So I just want to thank the chamber and Mr. Wolfstone publicly here. Councilmember Camp?
I just was curious, are they going to have a dedication once complete?
I think Una was talking about having a ribbon cutting, okay. And when I spoke with her earlier this evening, I had intended to ask about it, and I failed to do that. Okay. But as soon as we know more details about a ribbon cutting, a dedication ceremony, and so on, we will let all the council members know.
Great, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Do we have anything else? Nope, I think that's it. So let's go ahead and move on to the extended next week's agenda and the extended agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for September 16th, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we will have the Monroe Library here. and the confirmation appointment of the Ethics Board position we have.
Great.
Oh, before you continue, that reminds me, I am interviewing with staff applications for the municipal court judge position on Friday. I was reminded of that because I interviewed the ethics board person last week. So, okay, thank you.
You bet. And the consent agenda, under unfinished business, we have amending side code regulations. Under new business, we have overweight vehicle parking permits. And authorize mayor to sign public defender contract. This is the backup contract. Under final action, release of easements, Chain Lake Estates. And the Legislative Affairs Committee will be given a report. And the draft agenda for September 23rd, 2014. And of course, the Public Records Act training.
Good times. Okay. Are there any questions or comments about next week's agenda? Okay, anything about the extended agenda? Does anybody know that they're going to be gone where it's not marked on the agenda? Anything missing on the agenda? I would note that social media has tentatively been placed for the draft city policy on October 28th. Are there any questions? Okay. Oh, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you.
And then Councilmember Gamble. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Could you put my initials as absent with question mark on the 7th of October?
Bingo.
I should know for sure.
Yes.
Gamble as well that night.
Yeah, but you can remove it, obviously. We just talked about it. The question mark from the 16th.
Okay, you were definitely here the 16th. That is gone. Okay. All right.
I should know the next week or so.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll have you as a question mark on the 7th of October. All right. Anything else? Gene, anything else?
I'll just be out on the 23rd.
Okay. All right, sounds good. There is no other business for this evening. I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Councilmember Gamble with a first. Councilmember Cutterback with a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Hey, I like 6:30.
Oh, you dabble.
Hey, 6:30 works. Maybe you should pass an order.